Welcome back once again, Quality Timers. It's me, your host, Mr. Eric P. Woodworth. And boy, you turned in for a good one this time, let me tell you, because we are joined by comedian extraordinaire and a good friend of mine, Mr. Tommy Cimbazzo. I do the Laugh Finder podcast, the premier Paizo-based comedy podcast in Baltimore. We play Dungeons & Dragons, basically. Anyway, he's joining us on the show today. We got cool stories about some comedy shows we did recently. One in particular where we have a funny story about Batman. So you're going to want to hear that. But if I could use this opportunity to just tell you, hey, whatever platform you're listening to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever fun player your doohickey plays this thing on, go ahead and drop us a 5-star rating. We'd really appreciate it. It costs you nothing. It helps us out tremendously. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for Critters.
Kiddies, it's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
The award ceremony, and of course when I got up on stage I kissed him on the cheek, and he actually had clown makeup on his cheek. Somebody a little later said, you have makeup on your cheek. He's like, that's great.
Classic Jeremy.
Very
classic
gay.
Chinese person.
Chinese people always be doing shit like that, yeah.
Yo, you ever notice how Chinese people be hating lipstick on their cheeks and shit? People be like, oh, there's lipstick. Chinese people like, oh, no, China. Ching chong chong.
You know how Chinese people always be like, yo, that's geisha shit, son.
They talk funny, too. It sounds like funny talk.
They're always like, no Yoko.
No Yoko's good. No Yoko's real good. I don't know. What should we do? Say, welcome back to Quality Time, everybody.
Yay!
Woo! Woo! How's it going? My name is Eric Woodworth, your host. Thank you for joining us once again. And to my left, and another than my blood. Okay, not my blood, my brother, because he's not ready. Mm-mm. I'll introduce today's special guest, filling in at the last minute, buddy, my fellow podcaster, Tommy Cimbazzo.
Yay!
How are you, sir?
Good, man. How are you?
It's been days.
I remember you gave me a call today, and you were like, when's the last time you... Can I say the movie?
Yeah.
You said, when's the last time you saw Critters? And I was like, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. I know, because when you said you were watching it, I was just like, ooh, that would be a good Quality Time.
Yeah, I binge watched. The whole series.
Yeah, so I was very excited. I was like, ooh, I'm going to do Critters. Because you were actually supposed to be on next week to go do... I forget what we were going to
do. We're going to do the stuff.
The stuff.
And then we changed that.
And then Cat's Eye. But yeah, you're doing Critters, buddy.
Yep.
You've stepped your game up.
I don't get to do Cat's Eye
now? Nope, it's fucking dead now. We've moved on. Now Ryan Nazer gets to do Cat's Eye.
Well, how come he couldn't make it? Because he was supposed to swing by my place last night and didn't make it.
I texted him Wednesday. I said, Saturday, 3 o'clock. Are you good? And he said, yeah, I think I can swing that. And I texted him this morning. He's like, totally thought you meant Sunday. I was like, you mean in the text that says Saturday at 3 o'clock, right above this one. You thought that.
So wait
whatever.
A minute. He thought, he was like, yeah, I can come on Easter at 3 o'clock. That's mm-hmm. what. Oh, he you know what it is? It's 420. It's a very big holiday.
Oh, yeah. He's
Ryan
probably
Nazer.
Fucking listening to some like Bob Marley at full blast.
Yeah, he's probably like, down,
taking dabs out of his asshole.
That's how the kids do acid.
Yeah, I'm celebrating today as well. I'm going to a rally, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's this other person? This mystery person speaking. It's none other than my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you doing, sir?
No, that's not me. No.
Okay, who's...
I'm Don Appa.
Don Appa?
Who's the aliens? I can feel them in my teeth.
Oh, you're big Don Appa fan. Home.
Yeah. He's a very, very good actor.
Oh, that... Okay. So then we'll get into it, but the town drunk from the movie. The only character that was in every movie.
Otherwise known as Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
So. Ben Stiller on a bad day. So.
Well, like the kid, can we talk about it? I don't know how much, I don't want to spoil anything.
Well, I mean, before we get into the movie itself, I know we're all excited. Yeah. Why don't we go over
a
couple?
Boner.
Why don't we go over
a
couple
critter.
Of Joe Robinson's corrections?
Oh. Hey, Joe Robinson, do you have any corrections for us this week on Quality Time?
All right, Joe Robinson corrections. Are we ready here?
I wish we could have some Robbie Robinson corrections.
Yeah, I think so.
Which always our answer with, I want to kill you because you suck.
You mentioned The Big Lebowski. I hate that film.
I don't think Robbie Robinson could stand one episode of this show. I don't think he'd be able to make it.
He's the one that really hates me the most.
Probably, yeah. He dislikes you a lot.
It's all right.
He has... Honey, what? We're doing something right now. You need to go talk to Mom. I love you too.
Shut up. What is it? I love you. Well, fuck you.
Verita.
Fucking bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
What a needy asshole your daughter
well,
is.
That 4-year-old is such
Kids.
A jerk.
Ugh.
So Joe Robinson's corrections. This is from our two episodes ago, if we're listening. This is Jeremy's HorrorCon episode. Jeremy does the midget please joke to the new leprechaun guy.
Yes.
He's like, it's the equivalent of telling a Cat Williams N-word joke to a black person.
It kind of is. You can't say the M-word
yeah.
to a midget.
He was dropping M-bombs in front of the new... during his interview with the new leprechaun. How was the new leprechaun guy, by the way?
Very nice. The dude is buff.
He's
oh,
a swole.
Gosh, he's
like a swole little man.
He's like a little like a midget John Cena.
Yeah, that doesn't remind. I've been listening to nothing but Bloodhound Gang songs on their Spotify station, and there's a song called "Put Your Head Up High, Hold Your Head Up High, and Blow Your Brains Out." And there's a line in there that says, "Life short and hard like a bodybuilding elf."
I've already written it in my mind. A guy that has a shrink ray, and every time he hits John Cena, he turns into the little midget Porco. He's still buffing everything. So
that'd be great—a midget John Cena.
Yeah.
But then you could actually fight him with your single hand.
You can't see me. Like, well, if I don't look down.
Yeah, that was the joke. Oh, pretty much the same thing. Yeah. He was like, he's the only one that could say, you can't see me, and it would be true.
And he's under a table.
Brad Williams has the joke, there's only one move you need against a midget, and it's this. So, the hand against the forehead. So, gosh.
Now, there was one other correction from Joe Robinson, and this is how it reads. It goes, I make up words, parabolic chamber, Jeremy Woodworth. You said parabolic chamber. Instead of a hyperbolic, oh. You said parabolic
chamber.
Well,
he obviously doesn't know what a parabolic chamber is. So.
I mean, parabolic is a word.
A parabolic chamber, is that where you paraglide within a chamber?
I think parabolic refers to...
It's a chamber that's full of parrots.
I believe parabolic refers to being able to hear out of both ears, like sense direction, sense where sound is coming from because we can hear out of both ears.
Mm. If we examine the word in the Latin, the parabolic is obviously of the parabola, and bolic is of...
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
Pair of her vaginas means very high quality stuff.
Or I think having to do with bulls and bollocks. So,
I like a pair of bollocks.
Bollocks.
Yeah.
Nice.
My favorite character from Batman the Animated Series, Bullock. Yeah. Bullock. I don't know. It was close enough. It's the best I could do, guys.
Trying to hit you with some science today.
Tommy, obviously, is also my co-host and really the founding member of the Laugh Finder podcast, which I am graciously on week to week. And
By the way, you're off. You're out. Well, we voted you out.
Now I'm out. Well, I'll take me and my 100 stickers with me.
I think the PBS guy called me out and, like, don't ever let him come back again. He's freaking insane. So.
Now, Aaron's quote was, Aaron was like, he's a very interesting individual.
Don't tell me he's a clown.
He never says, never a bad word about anybody.
By the way, Jeremy, he talks to legit, like, crack methadone fiends in on the streets of Baltimore for his show, and he came up from you. He was like, what an interesting person.
I think we're done for this evening, right?
So, I have one question. How many drugs do you do?
I have to go home and kiss my family.
And now, the Charlie Rose Show.
But Tommy, you and I, we go out and do a bunch of shows, and one of the shows we frequent from time to time is the Ellicott Mills Brewing Company.
Yes, which has a pretty good... This is a more appropriate place.
Yeah, I think this is... Because I tried to bring this up on our show, and listen, this is... Our podcast, I feel like, is a little bit more of a more comfortable platform for the offensive than Laugh Finder. Well, it's a Batman themed. It's called the Bat Cellar. Right?
I think it's pronounced Bat Skeller.
The Bat Skeller down there, and it's a Batman kind of theme. There's some Batman shit up all around, not like heavy, but they have a cardboard or a MDO cutout of a the 80s looking Batman comics Batman, except that his complexion appears to be a bit darker, like a real dark knight, like an African American knight. And Tommy, some open micer went up to you and asked, he's like, hey, is this a black Batman?
Yeah,
and you replied,
I said, no, it's worse. It's a white Batman in blackface.
I'm pretty sure Michael Keaton did have a lot of mascara in the first Batman.
No, but like his face, it's definitely an African American person in this bat. But then we came with, like, if it was blackface Batman.
Because he'd walk around and he'd just be like, Mammy.
Stop that Joker.
Alfred, send me my hops and specs. But then there would be like a whole universe, right? Like, so instead of Two-Face, he'd have blackface.
Yeah.
And half of his face would be horribly scarred, and then the other half of his face, Jeremy, would be blackface.
I'm really offended by this because I obviously know that in the 30s he used to be called the Darky Knight.
Darky Knight, there you go. Now we're getting into new territory.
God bless America.
Career.
I didn't know that lady. Well, I forget who's the lady that sings the national anthem at the Phillies that they play.
I don't know.
She's
Nell
a 1930s like singer, and they were like, she just got like woked, I guess.
Yeah, she got canceled
because she had really offensive black people songs.
Yeah, she had one song that was like, someone has to pick the cotton, someone has to pick the corn, and like then the news
and
was like.
They just whisper, it's black people.
She's like, someone, like pointing to the black guy next to her.
But she had a statue out in Philly, and they've covered over her statue. Mm-hmm.
They should have put her in blackface. Right. That statue in blackface.
By covering her in black. So.
Well, it's not like she wrote those songs.
Yeah, she's just a performer, you know?
It's like if Ariana Grande, Ariola Grande.
Mm-hmm. Why don't they blame it on the Jews that wrote the song? That's who they should blame. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But if Ariola Grande,
true.
Which in Spanish means large nipples. But if she came out of Coachella and she was like, someone's gotta pick the cotton. But the news, when the news did that story, the news was like, we can't tell you the other parts of the song. So like, did she go out like straight up? Was she doing like hardcore hip hop lyrics or something?
Yeah, here's Straight Outta Compton by a crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube in a gang called With Attitudes.
My N words.
I got called out for being a racist. crisis last night on a live movie on Facebook. They were showing Mortuary with Bill Paxton. And of course, when the female lead is trying to escape from Bill Paxton, she tries to open a door, and I was like, stupid white people doing stupid white things in movies. And they're like, are you racist bastard? I was like, it's okay. I'm white.
Yeah.
I can make fun of white people.
I'm sorry. I'm juggling household items like in an infomercial right now.
Like when I try to open a box of cereal without just spreading the whole box everywhere.
Oh, so. Damn it, again.
Did you see that one where the woman, she's like mixed, she's talking on a phone, like a headset, or like, you know, a handle phone, and she's mixing brownies, and then she her head turns and the phone goes right into the brownie batter.
Damn
and she's
it.
Like, oh.
Damn it. White people always have, we have it so rough, people just don't understand. We can't even do anything around our house without getting a new product.
Yeah.
God, that's the real thing. You know, we didn't get to finish the rest of our blackface bit, but thanks, Jeremy.
Oh, sorry.
You got us. Well, the whole thing about Two-Face being blackface is half of his face is horribly scarred,
uh-huh.
and the other half is minstrel because he was the greatest minstrel act that ever lived. So like,
oh.
So like half of it is just like, I don't think what you're doing is really right.
Yeah,
like the scarred part yeah. is really nice, and then the other part is like, ah, look at me.
The minstrel part's going, hobby dooby, how's everybody? And then the other side's like, I'm very uncomfortable. This is awkward.
Then he has his like nemesis who's actually scarred on the other side of the face. Mm-hmm. Is like, well, I look down on him because his scar is on the other side. So
and then we said the Joker will be called the Woker,
mm-hmm.
and he actually just looks exactly like the Joker, but he's a black guy that wears the white face. To like that's yeah. he's the exact opposite of Batman. So yeah. he has to.
But Harley Quinn would be dummy thick.
Yeah,
like big old bass.
Damn, she'd have so much cake back there.
I follow a lot of like thick cosplayers.
Oh yeah. Oh, you got to. I mean, that's where you got.
You ever seen a thick Thelma?
Mm-hmm.
From Scooby Doo.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm looking up whatever. What is it? The Mario. What's sexy Koopas called again?
Oh,
Koopette.
Bowserette.
Yeah, there's some good Bowserettes on there.
I was in that for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't care if she's got a lazy eye. She got them ass though.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
I mean, my mushroom was going boodle.
The last time I really got some really good jungle fever.
Okay, I'm listening.
100% true. She worked at the AMC Georgetown. And yes, sexy black Darth Vader.
Mm.
Yes, and wearing probably something very, very
her name
tight.
Her name would be Darth Vatra.
Yeah. The best part is that she had emphysema, so the part of the suit that breathes for her was actually functional.
The suit staved off her sickle cell.
Oh, gosh.
Her only other cosplay is Ghostbusters 2, but the slime pack. That's the only other... thing that she wears out. It's good. You got to incorporate what you have more than anything.
Could you imagine a sexy Ghostbusters 2 Statue of Liberty covered in goo?
I don't know. I'm about to make one underneath here, though. Jeremy, what would be Jeremy's easiest cosplay? The lizard, do you think? Would that be a good
I'm
one?
I'm working on either Wooher, the bartender from Star Wars, or maybe the Rancor Wrangler. You know, with a little head covering, who cries when the Rancor dies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So. I think, Jeremy, if you just went topless and then you cosplayed as the guy who gets toxic waste on him in RoboCop 1. Like,
or Killer Croc. I say yeah. Killer Croc.
Killer Croc would be a good one.
You'd be like, I want to watch BET.
Yeah.
That's from Suicide Squad. I'm not a horrible racist.
You gotta use your psoriasis to your benefit, you know?
Be the detritus man, so.
Detritus man.
Don't let him get above you. He'll fill your mouth with detritus. You'll be choking to death.
What if you... Yeah, that's your... So detritus man is your superhero, and your superpower is that your psoriasis actually is a very potent like stimulant, so like you have to shave it off, and when you give it to other superheroes to snort, it sends them into a rage that makes them unstoppable. So actually every superhero in the world is out to harvest your skin.
Did you guys see the speaking of superheroes on a stimulant, did you see the trailer for The Boys?
I did, and I'm not familiar with The Boys.
I read
I'm
that whole series. It's
it.
Basically in a world where there's superheroes
in a world
there's a government agency that those guys are just there to police the superheroes. And they're regular guys. They have no superpowers, but they take this this serum that gives them superpowers for an hour, and they just beat the shit out of superheroes. And then later on in the series, you find out that it's the one guy's mutant mother's breast milk that they've all been... It is so fun. There was a part where they find out that their coordinator had set them up. So they put they know that she's a serial masturbator. So they fill a dildo with C4, and she's on a plane leaving Russia and starts fucking herself with it. And they fucking detonate this C4 dildo.
Is this Dark Horse or Archie Comics?
Dark Horse.
Oh, okay.
But in the or comics Archie. was called Da Boys, D-A-B-O
Da Boys
Y-Z, and now it's The Boys.
I think. What were they called in Bad Taste? Were they The Boys or Dub Boys, Jeremy?
I think they were The Boys.
I think they were The Boys, yeah.
Call the boys, and it's a button on a phone, so.
I want to get the thing. That's what I want to do. I want to get my things that have one button touch to call all of my comedy friends at once. It's called Call the Boys, and it the calls boys. All of you at the same time.
I have that button on my phone. I have no friends.
And then I... it just calls Eric. Eric doesn't answer.
I was having a rough week at work this week. Speaking of fun and crippling depression that me and Jeremy sometimes fall into, I walked into the office and people were already in the office. So I walked into like the main part where everybody was. And I was like, "Hey, Jason." And he was like, "Yeah, what's up, buddy?" I was like, "Hey, do you have like a tube that can reach from like the exhaust pipe on your car into the window of it?" And he started laughing. I was just like, I'm asking for a friend. And then he was like, yeah, I think I can get that to you later. He laughs. I was like, cool. Hey, man, you want to listen to music in my car later after work?
Speaking of tubes, I've already ordered it. It's coming tomorrow, but I'm going to see Avengers Endgame this weekend. I ordered a portable urinal, like the kind of underwear that you put your dick into this thing, and it has a tube coming off of it, so you just pissed into this bag.
You've gone full Asian now. Yeah. That's exactly what you
Well, there
you
was
have.
A nice one for $30 that Lou would not let me buy, because I was like, but Beb, I'll wear it numerous times. She was like, "You're not fucking wearing this thing more than once." So, and then it said on there, it said one size fits most, and I was more excited to see how I stack up to most. Like, if I was like, "Ooh, it's too snug." Or I'm like, "I'm swimming in this thing."
Has it come in yet? Do you have it?
It's coming tomorrow. All right. Well, I got a $20 one.
Okay, we need the update on how it fits.
Well,
okay.
I'm gonna wear it. And then after the movie, we're going to do a review while we're still on mushrooms.
Okay,
and
cool.
I'll tell everyone about it.
It would be cool to finally see that catheter go way up your dick hole.
It's not that. No. Hey, we're in the end game now, Jeremy.
Can't wait to see that.
I'll put it in my dick hole. I'm like, "For Stan!" And I'll shove it in there.
We don't sacrifice one for the rest of us. As he's shoving it in his fucking cock hole.
I'm like, "How much needs to go in?" I'm in there going, "Mark Twain!"
You pull it out, you're measuring where the blood was. I'm like, "Ooh, this is way down from last week.
I think I hit shit."
Oh, man. Well, without further ado, let's get into tonight's movie. And as you've kind of heard earlier in this, we are going over the 1986
classic.
This isn't the soundtrack. This is the soundtrack. Right here.
Critters.
Critters, everybody. Ooh.
Pretty sure this is the soundtrack to Gremlins, so.
Ooh, critters in the night!
I like this song because it's like, it needs guitar to go over it, and they were like, "Fuck it, let's just make it sound like a theme board for Street Fighter 2. Like, select your character. Like,
there should be like a fake saxophone or like...
I think this was more Roland than a DX7. Whoa. But it was, it almost sounded like a Moog during some of the soundtrack.
It almost sounded like a movie, you said?
A Moog.
Oh, a Moog. Okay, cool. Hi, kid.
Child.
Hello, child. My children are awake, and they are sentient.
Your critters are here.
So this movie is, I don't know, Tommy, you had mentioned this movie is a bit of a springboard for a lot of major actors.
There are
like this
so
series.
Many big names in this. Like the kid, the main kid, which I don't remember his name.
Scott Grimes.
Scott Grimes. That guy is the he's the pilot of the ship on Orville.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it's weird because I have only known him. I must have missed the Critters boat as a kid, but seeing him now, like having known his seen his acting style, it's the same acting style,
oh, you know,
but as a child.
He's also Steve Smith on American Dad.
I can see that.
He's the kid. Isn't that Steve? Is the
kid?
Yeah. He's the kid in American Dad. And a lot of good. He has obviously the Orville, Critters. He was in the Russell Crowe Robin Hood. Look at that.
I never saw that one.
Neither did I. I didn't watch it. I missed out. In fact, when I saw Robin Hood with Russell Crowe's picture, I was like, "That was a movie?"
Yeah, I don't even remember it.
Don't
really.
Even remember at all.
I'm more of a who did the most recent one? Jamie Foxx Robin Hood fan. That's who.
But this movie also features acclaimed '90s actor Billy Zane.
Yeah, Billy Zane is in this. As the older boyfriend, he's just trying to get his stinky pinky in the barn.
Yeah,
gets killed by critters.
He's such a loser. We'll get into.
I'm
Billy
guessing
Zane.
This is right after Back to the Future.
But you were also Jeremy. You were mentioning the new Sherlock and Holmes movie because Billy Zane makes a cameo in the new Sherlock Holmes
and of course
Holmes
as,
and Watson.
Yeah,
of course as Billy Zane.
Yeah,
yeah. they go to take a ride on Titanic and they're like, "Oh, there's Billy Zane." He's just waving in the corner.
I don't think it was a horrible movie. I did not hate that movie. I didn't love it.
It wasn't that funny as you expected. It wasn't Step Brothers.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah. I wanted Step Brothers.
Now, of course, I've said it on another podcast that I got to rub shoulders with Billy Zane, and he's very nice to me. He gave me a free autograph. But later in the night, when he was outside, he was conversing with what looked like three. 8 or 9 on the point scale women in very tight looking clothes, probably groupies.
Yeah.
And as I walked by him, he just scorned me and said, "Frickin' clown."
Nice.
So I was like,
and
yes.
Then all the girls were like, and they're like, "I hope you."
Billy Zane, show them your titties.
And then you're like, "Girls, show them your dicks."
Billy Zane likes chicks with dicks.
And so this movie, it features obviously Billy Zane and him, but in other installments of the franchise, there are Leonardo DiCaprio is in part three. a big springboard is the Critters platform.
Is it as big as Jack Black and Neverending Story part three? So,
well, I mean, arguably this, I mean, Critters probably has the best actors that have come from a franchise, right? I mean, you can look at Nightmare on Elm Street, you got Johnny Depp, right? Mm-hmm, the only one of merit that I can really think of, right?
Yeah.
Then in Friday the 13th, you have Kevin Bacon, only real actor of merit that came out of that.
There was that one black guy that got killed in the Port-a-John.
Yes, who was in Juana Man.
Yeah.
And
Nunez, I think.
Yeah, Nunez. But still, not as big as, I think, Billy Zane and Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, that's a good,
nothing,
power.
Nothing compares to Leatherface with Matt McConaughey and Zellweger. So.
Yeah, okay, okay, Texas Chainsaw. They got them, and they got, what's his name, if you count even the newer ones, you got Gunny from Texas Chainsaw, the newer one.
That was the end of his career.
So maybe Texas Chainsaw, okay, has a shot. That and Bill Moseley, I actually consider a legit thespian. Okay?
But when I binge watched the Critter series, I was surprised at how many actors.
God.
The Critter saga, I should really
thank
say.
You.
I was surprised at how many.
The CU, if you will.
There was another guy in Critters 4, the one where they're in space. the guy, there was a guy who was the pilot of the ship there. I've seen him as a bit actor in other things. I recognize so many people, and I was surprised because I had never watched a Critters movie.
The one that threw me the most is the father, who was actually Robert Blake's buddy in Electroglide in Blue from 1973, which I didn't recognize.
In the first one, the sheriff played the mayor in Northern Exposure.
The part one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, Emmett Walsh, I mean, he's big from Blood Simple and the Jerk.
Yeah. And then they replaced him.
Some movie
him.
Named Blade Runner, which I haven't really seen yet. So
They replaced the actor that played him with another bit actor, which I'd seen in everything, in the second one. And then he retired.
Die, gas pumper! Sorry.
No, flip it. It's the second one was the one from Northern Exposure. The first one was a big fat guy. Then the third one, in the third movie, the sheriff, they killed a lot of sheriffs, but the guy, he was in an Easter Bunny suit, and the critters got up in his suit, and he burst through the stained glass window in the church and just died in front of everybody.
Now, what about Ethan Phillips as Neelix? The sheriff that gets killed by the first critter.
Yeah, Neelix is from, what is it, Deep Space Nine? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
ones that the most popular of all Star Treks.
I do like a Deep Space Nine.
I didn't hate DS9. I really like Voyager.
Voyager was one of my better ones. You know why? Because I got them out of the universe of Star Trek. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It put them so far away that they could do whatever they wanted.
Out in the Delta Quadrant.
It was a little bit more cowboys, a little bit more Wild West.
Were you too young to watch Deep Space Nine when it first came out?
No, I was old enough. I watched a lot of them, although I was the cool kid in the family. So
you'd walk by and be like, pussies.
I was more into Buffy the Vampire Slayer Dad than Next Generation and Deep Space
lie.
Nine.
DS9's super hard to jerk off to Dabo girls.
You know, one of the few times the Dad actually made a racist joke is the one that I finally remembered. Can I actually say this?
I mean, this is the platform to do it, Jeremy.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of embarrassing because Dad hardly ever did this. He wasn't like a real hater.
Yeah, okay.
But of course, I remember the first time we watched the DS9. And I guess Dad didn't say it in a hateful way, but it really rang true because the first episode, it's like, oh, great. They have a black captain now. What do they start off the show with? A giant crack rock going across the sky. You know, it's like, really?
Oh, the iconic stardust that goes across like that. That's a good bit by Dad.
One of the only racist jokes I think Dad ever made. So,
well, you know, working in Baltimore City, down near Johns Hopkins, you know, he ran into giant crack rocks like that from time to time.
I heard that Johns Hopkins, it's full of Klingons and Ferengi. If you know what I'm saying. Reister Sound Road separates Ferengi from Klingon.
If only America could be like the Borg.
Yeah.
Have you watched any of... I watched Discovery, which is the one on CBS All Access.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
And it takes
amazing.
It takes place right before the original Star Trek series does.
I love Harry Mudd.
Yeah. And did you see any second season?
No, not yet.
Second season, it kind of hints at the origins of the Borg.
Yeah, I've heard on the internet, so it makes me want to actually binge to get to it. I just finished Gold Rush.
First season's hard to get through, but second season is really good.
I'm all about Team Schnabel.
Mm-hmm.
So
this movie, though, this movie opens up into the void of space, and we come close to a prison asteroid in Sector 17.
These super effects of this asteroid. It looks so realistic, like a spaceship.
Whenever I'm in Sector 17, I roll the windows up, if you know what I'm saying.
Radar control, this is Prison Transport 9961, requesting permission to land. Over.
We've been expecting you, PT-9961. Please confirm payload. Over.
Right prisoners, eight of them. Over.
There seems to be a problem, PT-9961. My advanced notice cube states that there should be 10 right prisoners aboard your ship. Please explain. Over.
Well, we did have 10 at one time, but the Krites were eating everything in sight. We had to kill two of them to make the food last longer. Mm. Over.
Roger, PT-9961.
Makes sense.
You're cleared for landing in docking bay B.
Did you notice?
Send Krite prisoners through detox and immunization. Put them in the termination lock as soon as you land. Shock control will be standing by. Over.
Roger, radar control.
Does anybody notice that this movie starts off as a spacist movie? Because they aren't really what they're called. They're actually Krites, but spacists call them critters.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh my God, they're putting a hard R.
Hard R on that critter. They're Krites.
Damn critters.
Ugh. man.
We had to kill them
everything.
They were eating too much. So we killed them.
We get to see the guy who's transmitting that to the ship, and it is an alien that looks like a ripoff between Mojo from the X-Men and the one guy from Return of the Jedi who's like Jabba's right-hand man, like, who's very easily Jedi mind-tricked. So
I would say Bib Fortuna, but Bib that's just me.
Isn't that, that is Bib Fortuna, right? Yes.
It's sort of a locha. And you will be rewarded, too. Jabba!
But just as quickly as the...
What's that crossfire, boys?
Just as quickly as the Krites are being brought on the ship, they are escaping. They go and hijack one of the ships off of the asteroid, and they have fucking infinite supplies and gas to leave in this ship, and the bounty hunters get geared up to go after them.
You know, they really started off because they're like just these green glowing faces, like, who could these stars be eventually when they change into form? Nobody. Could it be Harvey Keitel? No.
So here's our Mojo guy giving these glowing green-faced bounty hunters the rundown.
With enough fuel to cross the galaxy 10 times over.
Jesus.
So fuel is
not a hybrid.
However, you must stop them before they can feed. You will receive full payment, as usual, only upon evidence of their destruction.
Very scary. Mm. So we're taken to a small town and farm somewhere in the Midwest. It's peaceful. It's serene. Mom is frying bacon up for breakfast. And mom is played by none other than Dee Wallace. Jeremy, what other famous movie where she is the mother of some kids that run into aliens?
Oh, shit. She was.
I think it's a movie called Et.
Et? Yes, yes, that
that's
is true.
That's the scariest movie from my childhood was E.T.
Yes, she's the mom from E.T.
But I like to call him Spewy.
Yes, special person entering our world.
Egg yolks.
By the way, that used to be a password that I would use for stuff. But my password was on a Laugh Finder bonus content, so now,
now Merle knows your.
Now
Wi-Fi
our patrons were messaging me saying, "I know the password to your Wi-Fi now." I'm like, "Thanks, Merle."
Right, Merle's gonna drive down from PA to hack your Wi-Fi and download kiddie porn.
Would it be the best if I just come out one morning and all 11 patrons are just sitting at the edge of my driveway on their phones, like, soaking up the free internet, loser? I have a shanty town on the outskirts of my property now. It's pretty fun. So brother is upstairs, and this is also the second time this actor, Dee Wallace, has had to deal with a son who tries to jimmy a thermometer to look sick. Because Elliot, if you don't remember, makes his thermometer hot so he can stay home, although brother Bradley is putting it under a hot sink. So when he comes down, she checks it, and the temperature is 106, so she doesn't buy it.
And
he's got to go to school.
And E.T. is in this movie as well. So
yes, yes. He is in this movie. We'll get to him later.
As a little plush doll.
So, sister was not excited about Bradley hogging up the bathroom. They're basically your classic American family.
I hate to say, when I first saw her, I thought she was Aubrey Rose.
Aubrey Rose? Okay. Like a young one?
Yeah,
okay.
Which is definitely not her.
It's not, because she doesn't have the weird fucking lazy eye that makes her so hot.
Nothing sexier than a lazy eye.
I don't think it's Aubrey Rose. Is it Aubrey Rose, her name?
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
The chick
about.
From Legion is Aubrey...
That's Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza, that's what I meant to say.
I knew what Jeremy was talking about.
I think it's a horror movie called Aubrey Rose, so I'm sorry.
It was weird that you both had the name wrong. You're like, yes, I know exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, who the fuck are you talking about?
Jeremy's bad references have sunk into me so bad that I understand what he's talking about.
You guys made me feel real stupid.
And the worst part is Eric and I will throw out a wrong name and we still go with it on purpose, even we know that he's one of us is wrong.
I wait for the Joe Robinson corrections.
Yeah, I'll have you
know
end. Joe just hit delete a couple times. You made it this round.
He was already texting it and he was just like, fuck, you guys corrected yourselves. Got it.
Aubrey Plaza, one eye looks at my face and her other eye looks at my soul.
Mm. Yeah. So next, we head into town and we get to meet the wisecracking Sheriff Harve and his pistol of an assistant and John Travolta loving secretary. We also get to meet the local loon Charlie.
You're just gonna pass by Lynn Shay.
Yeah, I'm passed by her. Give me some more info about Lynn Shay.
I can't believe how young she was actually in this. And of course, I've met her when you ask her to do the vagina licking scene from Kingpin. She won't do it. She'll just kind of put a V up to her face, but she won't actually do the tongue.
Oh, I didn't even realize that's her. Oh, Lynn Shay. So the secretary is
Were Russian spies trying to kill her?
Man, she did not age gracefully. She aged, is so young in Critters.
She aged like yogurt.
And her breast didn't age very well either in Something About Mary. So.
Yeah, and she's also the creepy medium in Insidious as well. I forget
the name where she's in a spaceship or something, and she's the crazy woman driving around in a car. I forgot the name of it. It was pretty damn good, though. Oh, the guy has like a cybernetic alien legs. So I can't remember the name of it. It was great.
So let's hear this little interaction between Charlie, Harve, and their field deputy, Jeff.
They're coming, Harv.
It's Charlie talking.
Yeah, I'm getting them through my fillings just like last time.
Cut the crap, Charlie.
Cut the crap, Charlie.
They're the same ones that ruined my pitching career.
Kill your family.
Did you ever consider slowing down on the whiskey, Charlie?
It ain't the whiskey. Sal, you remember, right? I was a prospect, huh? And I wasn't drinking then, was I?
Sure, Charlie, sure. You were major league material.
Charlie doesn't know that he's actually a replicant.
And then I started getting these messages.
Cells.
Two hands holding. Cells.
Cells.
A mother loving their child. Cells. Alien fillings. Cells.
Fucking skin
Charlie,
job.
It's Jeff.
I'm on Route 22. Come on, lover, pick it up.
There it is. There's Neelix.
That's a hard shit, Jeff.
Sorry, Harv. I didn't know you were in.
Now, what do you need?
Just signing off for the night.
So sign off, Harv.
Damn.
Charlie, why don't you just go on out to Jay and Helen's? You don't want to get fired now.
Oh, no. No, I like my job.
Well, you just forget about that Martian stuff, okay? Forget about that.
Yeah, right.
Good call.
And
good call.
Scene.
Yeah, is he supposed to, I didn't, is he the town, can we say the word retarded on this podcast?
Yeah, the town
Is he retarded or is he a drunk or is he retarded drunk?
I think he's their Chris Restivo. Oh. That's who he is.
And when they
have you checked Charlie's website? FivePlatedClothing.com for all your clothing needs?
And when they lock you up in the drunk tank, do they let you bring your whiskey with you to drink while you're in your cell?
Yeah, I like that they lock him up like a werewolf. Who just please get hammered in this jail cell, please.
Let's go home, Charlie. So, why don't you go over to the Hendersons? Oh, you don't want to get fired.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's me, Joe.
What other movies has that guy been in?
City Limits. Another MST3K movie. Wow. I think he might have even... No, he didn't direct it, but he definitely played a retard in that movie.
No, not Charlie. The sheriff.
Oh.
Because he's been in so many fucking things.
Emmett Walsh, I told you Blade Runner and The Jerk and... Blood Simple.
He was the racist in The Jerk where he said, sir, I am... Oh, I can't say that.
No, he was the guy that tries to shoot Naven. He's like...
Oh, yeah.
Gas pumper!
Ah, you random son of a bitch!
That sounds like a fucking stupid name.
Jeremy, by the way, you named all the top four movies on IMDb without looking, so that's congrats to you.
I know my Emmett Walsh.
But did you know this? He was also the director of a little movie from the 90s called Mimic.
Really?
Never saw it.
I make the monster scarier. Not enough titties.
So
I slipped into Patrick Warburton there.
So next, we see the bounty hunters in chase. They tell the spaceship they're told basically the spaceship is headed for Earth. They give themselves a rundown of all of Earth's culture by watching their TV history. They stop on a little music video by Johnny Steele.
Our
I swear the montage starts with a scene from RoboCop.
Night.
That's it.
And Johnny Steele is played by Terrence Mann. I like it. This seems like a song that they didn't put in the movie Heavy Metal. They were like, we can't even put this crap in here. And it is a really bad 80s video that just cuts right in.
Yeah, the guy has this feathered mullet.
Yeah.
My other favorite Johnny Steele song is The Night Comes In You. So.
Yeah. So.
Power of the night!
Power of the night! As this is all happening, the green face starts to take form. A skull forms in front of it, and skin starts to goo around the face as he forms into Johnny Steele's
becomes
likeness.
Frank from Hellraiser. So
yeah, it's very similar Hellraiser-esque special effects. You know what? I'm a sucker for a wax face that melts that they just put in reverse. It's pretty cool effects, even to this day. So now we have a very beautiful Johnny Steele bounty hunter who's headed to Earth. Next, we see that cool transformation. But back at the farm, Pops is working hard on the truck.
I'd have to say one of my other dreams, if I ever make $2 to my name, is... if I could pay Tommy to make me a gun with the extension, just like the Critters gun.
Oh, where
so.
they load it up and goes, and their gun has an erection. And then if it doesn't go, he's like, this doesn't happen to me before.
No, you know, I'm sorry, honey.
It's fine with my extension. It's the bump stock that got banned. So, you know.
If your gun's erection lasts more than 4 hours, consult your physician.
This is my gun on Blue Chew.
Blue Emu, and you won't stink.
So, back on the farm, Pops is working hard on the beat-up pickup truck. Charlie is off his helper dicking around with Bradley and not helping with the truck. The kid is blowing stuff up with his quote-unquote fireworks.
Yeah, he makes pipe bombs.
That are actually little sticks of dynamite that he's playing with. Because, I guess,
Come on, Pa!
Let's get the fertilizer barrels ready. We can take out that government office building.
Come on, Pa! We gotta take out the infidels!
Me and my retard friend, we're going to kill everybody.
This is just a warm-up for Oklahoma City.
I use the simple dollar to buy everything.
Things I can get with a simple bottle of whiskey.
For the price of letting him look at my naked penis. He'll buy me all the TNT I want, Pa.
He always masturbates in front of me.
Oh, this kid's poor, horrible trauma. I love it.
One day I'm going to be a spaceship pilot.
So next...
He says if he puts his mouth to my ear, he can hear space. So. Oh, gosh.
So dad comes over. He scolds the boys for playing with fireworks that are actually small improvised explosives.
Detonating explosives like 10 feet away from everybody. And he's like, God damn it, Charlie.
What did I tell you about starting jihads on the farm? So,
but American pigs must die, Pa.
What did I say about trying to kill the cat?
So the daughter rolls up with her new boyfriend, Billy motherfucking Zane.
Sweet Tom Cruise Porsche.
Hell yeah. Dad's not impressed with his ride because he can't haul enough hay. Just this simpleton.
How much hay can that?
It doesn't look like you can fit but one bale of hay in the back of this thing.
No, this is
it make it kind of hard to finger bang your daughter on top of all this hay in the
How
back
comfortable
seat.
Can it be driving against that headrest with that big old mullet you got? So.
Yeah, Billy Zane does have a pretty epic mullet that he's rocking in this. Charlie, then while they're over there talking, Charlie takes out Brad's fucking slingshot and then shoots the sister in the ass.
Well, he doesn't mean to shoot her in the ass. He misses something.
Yeah.
He's trying to throw a Coke can or something.
Yeah.
He's just an idiot.
A tin can. Find me a tin can.
I was so surprised that he was the character that made it into every one of these movies.
Yeah.
As the protagonist.
Well, I mean, he was very, very, luckily his schedule freed up. Every time they were shooting one, he was just happily available.
Hey, we need you to come back. He's like, all right, but I don't want to be retarded.
Wait a minute. Am I going to get $50 for this one? And they were like, no, nah, of course, your $50 pay is still intact. You know that.
That's SAG scale.
So,
wait a second. Police Academy Part 12. Put me in regular pay.
So the sister gets shot in the ass with the slingshot, and she looks over and she thinks it's Bradley that did it. She takes after him.
Well, see, that's another weird thing, because if I remember right, she looks over and Bradley makes eye contact with her, then takes the slingshot from Charlie.
Yes.
And then they come over and they blame Bradley, and he takes the heat.
He takes the heat because he's a real G. That's why. So Bradley ends up getting grounded, and then as soon as he goes into his room, he starts listening to
Power of the Night.
He does. He puts on Power of the Night the second he gets into his room. Because
tunes to chill out.
I'm so mad at my parents. Hopefully Johnny Steele could get me through another night.
Wait a second. Wasn't this the second tune that Survivor did for Rocky IV or something?
No, this was written.
Exactly like
was it written for the movie?
It was written and performed by none other than Terrence Mann, the actor from this film.
Okay.
Was it written for this movie though? Because it's not a bad song.
It was written for this. It was written for this film. Yes.
I wonder if it ever got any radio play.
I don't know. Jeremy, take us back to the 80s.
Power of the Night, and then we'll fight the Kreitz, and then we'll get in there, and then they'll blow up our house, and we'll say, damn it, why'd they blow up our house?
Spoiler alert.
So next, we all sit down for dinner with the new boyfriend, and the daughter is pulling the classic move of, let's pretend to jerk off my boyfriend at the dinner table, because that's just something that we do as human beings, I guess, in movies.
Billy Zane's such a tease.
I don't understand why, like, in every movie where you bring a boy home, it's, like, awkward for you to meet their family. Hey, let me calm you down by trying to jerk you off under this table.
Yeah.
Don't
worry, my dad's just going to take you and show you all his guns.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
going
to take you and show you a vehicle and tell you how much hey, it can move.
So Steve and April decide to go for a quote-unquote ride that doesn't last very long as they drive all the way to the barn right on the edge of the property and immediately get out to go get a bit frisky.
Mm-hmm.
Dad asks Mom if she's talked to her about sex, and he's shocked that they've already had this discussion years ago. He's like, well, I've never.
He's like, what? But she's 42.
You know, I didn't know what a pussy looked like until I was 28 years old. When we got married.
Well, what if she was like, well, I mean, I didn't tell her, but we have artificially inseminated cattle on the farm.
Yeah.
She's going to be like, here, Johnny, put this glove on your arm.
She knows how sex works. You jerk off into this glove, and then it goes up to your elbow, and then she puts the whole fist into you. Of course she knows the sex
talk. I told her about German shit porn, dear. She'll come home, Mom, do we have any wipes?
Yeah. They know the first step is to use the machine that you ride for 15 minutes, and then it's... And then
she can always handle a gallon before she vomits.
What if she was like, let's go to the barn and show you the horse I fuck.
And then you present your 20 testicles to go in her four holes.
She's doing a donkey and Billy Zane's just vomiting over
it. Oh, gosh.
This family's so weird.
Oh, gosh.
So the two lovebirds go into the barn. They're also... all making moves on she's also making all the moves on Billy Zane. Like, Billy Zane isn't into it.
No, he's like, Chase. He's like, just, I'm saving myself for the Lord.
I don't know. This isn't what they taught in Bible class, honey. Like, Billy Zane, that puss magnet, right?
He's waiting to give her the special blue heart stone because he loves her. So.
Now, Bradley sees this.
Draw me like one of you French girls.
Bradley sees this as an opportunity, though, because he's looking out his bedroom window, and he's like, ooh, I got one of these firecrackers that could easily kill or maim one of them. I can't. I'll go. This will really scare her. So,
shoves it as hard as he can into Billy Zane's ass.
He's like, tee-hee, octatanabri hopra.
Allahu Akbar. So,
oh, gosh.
Just as he's about to climb out the window, Dad brings up a plate of food. He confiscates the slingshot from him, which seems like a rather late move to do.
Yeah, he's like, you can keep this bomb, but give me this slingshot.
Bradley then sneaks out with the fireworks to go scare the lovebirds. Now, meanwhile, back in space, the critters crash land on Earth.
Whoa, whoa, the Crichtons.
The Crichtons. The Michael Crichtons.
I can't believe you're using the critter word.
Quickly, we've landed. We must bring out our book, Outbreak in Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. To the masses. So they crash on Earth right in front of crazy ass Charlie, who's riding his bike around, the perfect person, the town nut who nobody will believe.
The only vehicle he can legally operate.
This man has had more than two DUIs.
The power of the chromosomes.
I got an extra Y.
You never go full Todd.
So,
yeah, he's basically playing Simple Simon in this movie.
I seen the spaceman. So, back in the house, Mom is watching a Johnny Steele video once again, reading a book.
Once again, rubbing up against the washing machine that she put one tennis shoe in.
Dad almost catches Bradley on the roof in the meantime, but peeks out and sees the spaceship kind of cruise off in the distance. Goes, that's kind of weird. And
he
sees that it also messes with the TV downstairs. Mom yells about that, and you also notice that Dad is wearing a bowling shirt because he's about to go bowling, called the Pin Busters, and the Pin Busters is obviously a play on the Ghostbusters. It's a pin like this. That's like, ooh, and like it's a similar logo. Also, oddly enough, the exact same color scheme as Egon's suit from the real Ghostbusters TV show. It's like a blue pastel color. That's how deep I got into this movie, guys.
He goes investigating the ship because not that he really cares. He's just more concerned about the reception for his television.
Yeah. So. None of these fucking space monkeys are going to fuck up my TV.
Critters. So, goddamn filthy critters.
So Dad goes out to investigate the rumbling. He finds Brad halfway up in the tree and tells him to come down. So they're off together to go investigate this UFO.
Doesn't he ask the kid? He was like, seemed to get down that tree pretty well.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, first time for everything.
Yeah. It's about that. And he's like, you caught me, and the only way I know how to get in and out of the house. Well, sucks to be me, I guess. So they come upon the crash, and you can hear the critters kind of talking to each other. And they have subtitles when they talk to each other. The voice actor who said that he played the part of the critter said this was a mixture of French and Japanese that he would do.
He was actually speaking something?
Yes, it's French and Japanese that he's speaking with a voice changer. That's pretty much
it. Pretty much Klingon. Yeah,
so that's what those Spaceys talk these days. It's just like this.
Kevin Spacey.
So the critters basically say, we need to go out and go eat! Ha 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 ha! So Dad and Bradley roll up, and they find basically the remains of a fucking cow.
Shit.
Or a giant steer right here that's completely disemboweled.
What is it?
Looks like one of the herd.
What happened to him?
I don't know.
Probably just slipped and fell.
Coyotes. He's probably just sleeping. he's all right, Bradley. Let me just... we'll fix it. We got to get some Band-Aids back at the house.
I'm going to send him to another farm up north.
It's probably just Ebola. Here, let me take a taste. I can tell.
Ooh, the mad cow is ready. Yes.
What if he was like, you can fit a lot of hay in this one now?
He only does hay puns.
That's all his reference for everything is hay.
So the critters are out there. The two approach and find the cow. We then get to see Jeff, who's on night patrol, and he runs across one of the critters that crosses the road and swerves to miss him, which I don't know why, because if anything comes in front of my car that is that tiny, I just immediately run it over.
This guy doesn't strike me as a very humane, he was messing with the town, I don't want to say, keep saying retard, the town,
special person.
Yes, yeah. the special town guy.
Yeah.
The by making why him why. Think he's crazy, but he won't run over a raccoon.
Well,
this
is Jeff. This is the other guy. This what's his name?
Chromosomally deficient.
Yeah, this is the bald guy, and he runs his own car off of the road, and he's I missed my notes here. Okay, I'm back. I got it highlighted properly now. He swerves and nearly misses. Jeff gets out to investigate with his billy club, and he thinks it's a dog, and he's ready to beat the shit out of a dog. So he has a billy club. He wasn't willing to run it over, but now he's ready to murder it. So it hits him with a fucking dart. And he's
kind of
stunned.
Yeah, they can hunch over and shoot, like, quills out of their backs.
Yeah.
That have a paralyzing agent or a neurotoxin.
That doesn't seem to last for too long, mm-mm. But then drags him underneath the car and, I guess, eats him. But we still haven't really seen the critter in full action. You know, you haven't got a full view of him yet. So,
and that's how he became Neelix.
And that's it. That was it. So
I changed form after that.
Next,
that's good, Neelix.
Next, we head into Critter View, which is the camera kind of takes you at their ground level as they kind of patrol the outside of the house. It spooks the outdoor cat. Mom drops a plate inside from the sound. Nothing can be seen outside when she looks out the window, so she goes to clean the plate up. But then she can hear some more strange sounds, and when she gets up, she looks out and can see the red glowing eyes of one of the critters, like which actually looks like one of the shittiest special effects in the movie. If I'm being honest,
it's just like. Bonjour!
Did we mention the Kyoto brothers already?
No, we haven't mentioned them.
They're the ones that did the effects on this that also did the Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Mm.
And, of course, the Team America puppets.
Have you guys done Killer Clowns?
No, I haven't done Killer Clowns.
Have you heard the song? There's a Killer Clown song.
From Outer Space.
Yeah,
I'm familiar.
Yes.
The population's going down out of space.
I actually enjoy it. I enjoy the Killer Clowns song.
Killer Clowns 0.0.
The last Monster Mania that I went to, they actually played, they had a special screening of Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I didn't go to it.
I've never seen it.
I met the Kyoto brothers and they really upselling the Killer Clowns, and I was like, why aren't you advertising for Team America? That was great. Bringing some of those Muppets. I think it was a little too controversial for them. So not that proud, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
We only do Killer Clown movies. We don't do Team America movies, okay? It's a bit much.
Did you tell Tommy about my resume?
Yeah, he knows about it, your rape clown resume.
Rape clown. I don't know why I haven't gotten a job yet. So.
You do nothing but mention it.
Yeah,
so
you don't want a job? Is that what it is? I mean, you know what I never put on my resume? That I sprayed a guy with a super soaker full of piss and gum. Not even under special skills.
Oh, gosh.
And that's how I got the name Laramie Lear. That's so, as Dad comes in right after Mom gets scared and...
Oh.
You scared the hell out of me.
Was it Cujo?
Jane, something was staring at me.
What do you mean something? Where?
Over there by the window.
Well, you dumb lady, there's nothing outside this window.
You have a touch of the hysteria.
More of Mom's meaningless ramblings.
You feeling
maybe
heat
it was
flashes?
Chewy.
Was it hay?
Yeah, maybe.
How many bales of hay tall was it?
Maybe it was just a bale of hay falling over. I've heard sometimes they make cool wind sounds when...
I just saw a spaceship fly by.
That was the wind chime made out of hay.
And something ate a steer in about like 5 minutes. There's probably nothing.
Yeah, they didn't mention any of that. Yeah, he does mention, so he's like, actually, we did see something kind of strange, but doesn't say what it is to Mom at all. So,
don't you worry your pretty little head. I know you're going to leave me and have another kid who's going to find a spaceman.
So next we see our bounty hunter's land, and the other one is yet to transform because he hasn't found nothing likes me. So they find the dead steer, and they said, "Ooh, they've started eating." So Dad goes to call the cops after this, and but the phone line is dead. Classic Critters move, because the critters have eaten through that. And then shortly after that, the power flickers, the power goes out. So Dad goes to investigate in the cellar, finds that the wiring's been all types of torn up. Dad looks around and can see that there's some stuffed animals downstairs in the basement on a shelf, and you can clearly see the critter like within the maw of all these stuffed animals. So he goes to go investigate.
He's eating my preserves! My hay!
He's like, hey!
Honey, close up the barn! The hay's in trouble! It's in danger!
Tell the hay I loved it!
So he starts fighting this critter. It comes and latches onto his shoulder, then shoots a fucking little spiny thing out of its back, narrowly misses him, and then goes back to biting him again, and he takes a fucking hammer and starts beating it to fucking death, like, whap, whap, and gets blood all over his face. Not enough to kill one of these critters, though, because then it shoots one more spine and hits him in, like, his back, and now he is partially drugged and seriously leaking some fluids.
I like to compare the scene to the stair-climbing scene from Human Centipede with the doctor and the centipede trying to escape.
Well, spoilers. Yes. I haven't seen it.
So
I've been holding off till I can. I'm never gonna watch this.
So,
you've never seen Human Centipede?
No,
not even two or three.
None of them. I will be so freaked out by it. They're just movies. I'd rather watch Rocky, and I've never seen that.
So, Bradley asks, "What was that?" And he goes, "I don't know, but it was meaner than hell."
Meaner than hay. I'll tell you that, boy.
So we switch back to the bounty hunters, who are right on their task. They're walking along, following out where they went. One still in full green face. They find the police car, and the second bounty hunter decides to take the shape of the deputy, Jeff. But Jeff is like, because he was dead, I guess now he kind of looks dead. So he's like, fucked up, Jeff. Yeah. He looks like Jeff wearing an Egger suit, if you will.
He looks way fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't look like he's healthy. Then they get in, and they don't know how to drive the car, but they try to teach themselves. One of them accidentally shoots the shotgun through the roof. I'm like, that was interesting. And then they just start driving in reverse down the road. Now, back at the barn, the two lovebirds are completely ignoring that Dad just got attacked maybe 100 yards away from them. Didn't hear any of that
totally
going on.
Totally dry humping, too.
And he gets up to go change the radio because Steve is a fucking cuck and can't handle his business.
He's like,
in there.
Hold on. I need to put on some Power of the Night.
Hold on. Maybe if Power of the Night comes on, I can do this on
it. Do you like that new Johnny Steele song? Put it on, bitch.
Could you bend over and pretend you're Johnny Steele?
But as he gets up, one of the critters goes and latches onto him. April gets up, and she takes a pitchfork and tries to stab the critter in the mouth, and it bites the whole end of the fucking pitchfork off. They're like, oh, shit, this thing is fucking legit. It's gonna fuck with him hard. So Bradley then runs over to come help. Steve is bloody and laying in a pile of his own juices and convulsing by the time he gets there.
Steve finally came.
Yeah.
This is what I'm into.
I like that if he lived through this, that's the only way that he could finish. Yeah. He's like, I need something to latch on to me in my neck area.
I have a small furry woman vor fetish.
So Bradley lights up the stick of dynamite, tosses it at the thing. The thing eats it, and you're waiting for a big explosion, but all it does is just go boom and just kind of expand a little bit and goes, ugh, and then falls over and dies.
Nice.
So the critters are pretty tough because it could take a whole half stick of dynamite to the face and just barely kill it. So
we didn't even mention the horribly cheapness of the movie of just scenes of the critters rolling across the ground as obviously they were thrown.
Yeah.
Just bowling
with critters.
Yes. Now, back at the station, Charlie comes in a frantic to talk to Sally, tells her to call Harv, wake him up, and she tells him that he's not out, he's out bowling. He's not actually out bowling, he's just sleeping. Mm. We'll find out later. He rides off to the bowling alley to go find Sheriff Harv. So next, we see this quiet church service as the bounty hunter's car crashes right through the front of the church because they don't know how to drive. They get out and they immediately start demanding where the Krites are. Many of the townsfolk recognize Jeff as like, Jeff, you're not going to make us, the city's going to pay for this, right? And they keep demanding Krites. The congregation keeps looking at them like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. The bounty hunters then take the form of the one takes the form of the preacher who's there right in front of them. It bewilders the entire congregation, and then just like assholes, they just start shooting up the church with guns. Like they're just like, "Well, this place is dead." Boop,
boop, boop, with their boop, erection
boop.
Cannons,
like they're Yosemite Sam of space. They're like, "Well, this place is done. Boop, 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 boop. We gotta leave." And the only way we leave is popping off shots. They're just a bunch of space dicks is essentially what I'm getting at.
Didn't even kill the bride.
So now the family is all inside the house. They debate on what to do. They decide to leave for town. Dad goes and grabs the shotgun, and they open up the truck to find that it's been completely torn apart by the Krites. This is
That's exactly what Wilford Brimley would do.
I like that he goes, it's impossible, but I was just like, is it? I mean, they literally are space aliens that eat everything. This is impossible to you? You don't understand it
I wonder
at
if
all.
He was like, fucking critters. Mm-hmm. And the son was like, whoa, Dad, whoa.
He starts crying. He's like, he was like, Dad, I mean, it was only a truck. He was like, it was our hay truck, boy. It's been in our family for generations.
How much hay? I loved it more than you, boy.
So, luckily, April has the keys to Steve's fancy car, though. Mm. So they go and open the sports car, where inside they find a big critter who's about the size of a potbelly pig. The big critter rolls out the other door, and you get to see this is where you start to see the balls rolling as very cheesy effects of them literally throwing
like
them off camera.
Covered a basketball in fur and punted it across the screen.
I'd like to think that this was the inspiration for the movie Hook, when the little fat Polynesian kid turns into a ball and rolls himself to fight the pirates.
Yeah, I would say this is what inspired. This was the original Sonic the Hedgehog prequel, I'm pretty sure. So, they go, the little counterparts go after them and chase the family across the field back towards the house, but the door is locked. Dad bucks some shots off at one of them, and then one jumps off on the roof onto Dad's shoulder. Mom whacks that thing with a fucking shovel. Bradley then takes off to go climb the tree to get back into the house so he can unlock the door, narrowly avoiding the big one by inches as he's crawling up. Bradley then opens the door just in the nick of time, and the critters talk amongst themselves, saying, "They have weapons." He goes, "So what?" And then Mom opens the door and goes, "Bang!" And the other one looks, it like completely explodes one of the fucking little critters, and he goes, "Fuck." So, I like that they drop F-bombs. They're like the Stone Cold Steve Austin of space aliens. So,
we gained PG-13 rating.
Yeah. And I think this is one of the first PG-13 movies, because we've done Poltergeist. That was a PG movie, which was actually what inspired the PG-13 movement.
Definitely could have been our.
But I'm not sure this was the first. This might have been, if not the first, one of the first PG-13
films. I know the first was Red Dawn, so.
That was
when
the first.
What was that movie called? Flash? Jack
Flash?
Flash?
No.
Flash Dance.
No, god damn it. Free Jack. Do you remember Free Jack, the movie Free Jack?
With Mick Jagger.
That was the first.
Estevez.
That was the first PG-13 movie I saw.
Oh, okay.
But I was 12 at the time and got dropped off at the mall. So my friends were like, "How are we going to get in?" And we saw a group of people.
Fake ID.
No, we saw a group of people moving toward. Like, it's just one of those series.
You got on
your
friend's
ticket.
Shoulder and they put on the trench coat. Oh, and you're like, "Hello.
I'm Adult Manderson." One adult movie ticket.
How many 12-year-olds do you know that are this tall?
But they, we just went in with another large group of people that didn't. We pretended we were talking to them, and then we totally skeezed by.
I remember the first. I don't remember the first PG-13 movie that I saw, but I do remember the first rated R movie I saw, and that was Terminator 2. Because I bought tickets to see Fern Gully, and then walked into Terminator 2.
Oh shit! Yes. I think I jerked off to Fern Gully.
Hell yeah!
I don't remember what in there I jerked off to. Robin Williams.
Was it because the blue Indian creatures look so hot?
Yeah, the
naked?
Na'vi.
That's Avatar.
Yeah. Oh, they're the same movie to us. Oh. That they exist in the same universe here.
I think it was the little fairy chick.
Oh, yeah. She's pretty hot. She wears a shorty short.
Oh, that's right. You don't jerk off to cartoons.
No, I'm
because you're
a
homosexual.
Fag. So,
Sailor Moon has some really big titties, by the way.
I tell you, the other day, I jerked off 3 times to an erotic comic book.
Names?
No names. No. You're not getting my search history.
Is that some of those MAGA comics?
MAGA?
Yeah, manga.
Manga.
Mango. No, mango comics.
It was straight up. It was American. American sex comic. It was Archie.
MAGA comics.
It was Archie fucking Betty.
Make America jerk off again. So
that's not how that's spelled. So, you mean Magia?
Yeah, Magia.
Magio.
So back at the bowling alley, the pinbuster Sans dad are throwing rocks and can't seem to get him on the phone. Charlie is over at the bar getting drunk because he can't find the sheriff there. The phones aren't working properly there for some reason either. When all of a sudden the bounty hunters roll up to the bowling alley and they're bad at tracking because there's no reason they should be here. There's no reason they should be at the bowling alley at all. But they're spooked by the bowling balls, which I find funny. Like they see a black bowling ball come up, they're like, "Whoa, sheesh!"
Well, they probably thought it was a
critter.
Crichton.
Yeah, exactly. I like that every time I say critter, you go, gosh.
I don't know. Rough. I'm okay with saying the word three times.
Why is Crichton from Red Dwarf in this all of a sudden? Yeah.
So he then picks up the ball and then shot puts it effortlessly as it smashes the fucking
pin. Destroys the pin.
And then, of course, somebody chimes in and goes,
"Holy shit.
Team
he's on.
Whoa, wonder what team he's on.
Nice.
You could be on our squad, pal." So they head to the bar.
You know how he did that, right?
How's that?
It was the power of the name.
So
I'm surprised they weren't playing some Johnny Steele when they came in.
I think it is playing at the bar very softly.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's being
playing
it's being played at the bar when he walks into the bar.
Power of night. So he heads over to the bar where Charlie is, and they start asking the bartender, "We want the Krites. We want the Krites." And some of the locals go, "Hey, buddy, why don't you put him down?" They immediately fuck these guys up real bad. And then the other bounty hunter who has the preacher's face then switches it immediately into Charlie's face. So now he's walking around as a special needs local Charlie, the bounty hunter. And
which he looks, and hey, he looks pretty good. It's like he did Charlie, but like a more respectable Charlie.
Man, Charlie's looked better than ever. Yeah. I don't know why. This was, like, the perfect level of white trash that I need to complete my bounty hunter look.
I now look like I own a pawn shop along a major highway.
So they then shoot up the place because they're dicks, and Charlie is able to escape unscathed. Finally, somebody calls to wake up Harf, the sheriff. Sally tells him that all hell is breaking loose. They then switch back to the house where Dad is not looking good. Real bit up, really fucking out of sorts. Mom is a tense emotional wreck and snaps at one of the kids when all of a sudden a Krite comes bursting through the window and hits Mom in the neck with a dart. She passes out. And this all of a sudden calls for
the shotgun.
I just wanted the shotgun. So Dad gets the shotgun.
Before they got in and they had the they were trying to get the dad who was all drugged up into the house. They're on the front porch. They have the shotgun, but only a limited. She's freaking out. She doesn't know how to load the shells. She drops the shells and goes to grab the shells, and you see one critter hand like reach up over the porch and like take the shell.
So the critters are now all infiltrated the house. Dad takes aim but falls and then shoots the fan. Or I'm sorry, Brad then picks up the shotgun because Dad can't shoot at all. But as he goes to shoot, he trips and falls for no reason and then shoots the fucking fan. Basically, this would be the fan then comes down and then crashes on top of the critter, and it's like the equivalent of us playing Pathfinder and rolling a 4 and then the other person rolling a 1 to save, and it's like, oh, the fan fell down and it actually crushes him. Like, that is the equivalent of what happens in this situation.
Classic chandelier falling and okay, real quick story. There was one time I was watching TV in my living room when I was a kid, and my dad was he was installing a new ceiling fan in the living room, right? Now, he'd already had it wired up. He was just attaching it to the ceiling. He let go. He lets go. The blades weren't on it yet. It was just the large fan body. But it came off of the screws and just swung down like a pendulum and hit me in the chest and knocked me into the kitchen.
Hell yeah. Yes. That's fucking awesome. I went to change a light bulb that was in Jeremy's basement bathroom a long time ago when I was probably like 11 or 12 years old. Mm-hmm. I reached up, and I guess it was... wired wrong, because when I touched it, it gave me a violent shock that threw me onto the ground. And I don't know how long I was out, but I was definitely out for an indeterminated amount of time. When I woke up, I'm like, I'm alive. All right, cool. So
fluorescent lights can be dangerous.
They were fluorescent. It was a standard bulb light. It was above the sink. So I remember touching it, and I think I touched a live wire when I did it.
Do you remember Transformers would come with this little red strip of plastic that you could look through at the back of that power card, and it would show you their graph of their powers, like power ratings? I used to take those and melt those onto hot light bulbs in my room until they would explode.
Wow.
Awesome.
Impressive.
So Bradley then runs upstairs and then takes an oil lamp and fucking throws it at one of the critters and lights it on fire. It rolls up in a ball of flame and then dunks itself into the toilet, where it then let's see here. So it cools itself off in the fucking toilet.
Nice.
And puts itself out.
It's covered in turds.
Yes, it's just covered in shit.
No one ever flushes. Dad always says if it's brown, flush it down. If it's yellow, let it mellow.
Where's the poop knife?
So they stamp out the fire, and the critters retreat for now. Now, back at the church, the sheriff has showed up, and he can't make sense of anything. All of them sound completely fucking crazy to him. Sally calls on the radio, tells him what happened at the bowling alley, and all of these crazy stories are starting to verify themselves. Mm. So he said he's going to go head over to the bowling alley, then he's going to go head over to the Browns' place, the place where he really needs to be. Now, back at the house, they start barricading up in Mom and Dad's room. Brad says he's going to go for help. So his plan is to go grab his bike and ride like hell. And Dad immediately goes, he's like, good idea. I like it.
Yeah, they let him.
They immediately let him. So
you're a man now, son. You're like a bale of hay that's reached maturity.
If our hay's ever going to make it to market, you're going to have to make it to town.
They looked at Dad for advice, and he said, okay.
If you do nothing else, make sure that hay makes it to fall time.
tell the story of the hay.
So the family keeps the shotgun.
Remember the days of the hay. Go out to the barn and check on my glory bale.
My glory
the
bale.
The hay was hidden in the trucks and not by the tanker. That's how we got it to the new land.
So as soon as he gets outside, though, the big one is waiting by the bike for him, and it knocks his bike over. What a dick.
Steals his bike.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, fucking critters.
Was this your bike? Fucking loser. So Brad takes off on foot, making it back to a work shed area, and he could see the critter shadow growing larger and larger.
He's becoming a Voltron super beast.
So, back in the house, Mom wakes up. She's mad that they let him go, but only for a moment. She gets over that very easily. And they can hear the critters in the other room absolutely ripping everything apart. And there's this little video montage of them destroying the room right here.
This is what the inside of a certain local comedian's apartment was like the other night.
Fuck those guys.
I can't let them fucking morning show.
Are you saying Restivo basically critters his house?
Crittered his apartment.
So
I woke up and the critters destroyed my place.
So as this place is getting ripped to shreds, they run across an E.T. doll where there's a nice little E.T. and he like talks to it for a second and then just bites off E.T.'s head, mm-hmm. which is I thought was pretty funny. And a nice homage to obviously the connections to E.T.
To the most the horrific that, creature in 80s cinema, yeah.
Yes, yes. He's very mm-hmm. terrifying. So Brad does go and find help, though. He flags down a police car, and it's none other than our bounty hunters. And he gets in and immediately recognizes one.
Jeff. Hey, you're Johnny Steele.
Where?
Huh?
Huh?
At my house. Come on, hit it.
Can you sing that song, Still of the Night?
Charlie, you know where my house is.
Yeah, because Charlie is the other one, so he's confused.
Who are you guys?
He's like, wait a minute. Charlie doesn't know something? Something's up.
The Krites?
Critters. Krites.
Hmm? You're not from around here, are you? Okay, okay. You help me, I help you.
I mean, there's really no help. They want to know where the Krites are, and that's literally the problem you're having. There's no helping each other. It's like literally we have a common goal, actually. So they go back to the house, and the big one all of a sudden grabs April through the wall upstairs. They burn it with a little fucking blowtorch. Mom shoots one of the little ones through the door, which is pretty badass. She's like, ah! Just shoots the bottom of the door, and one of them gets fucking blasted through the door. They then head into the hallway to because the big one is starting to break through the barricade of the window outside. And Mom misses with the second shot and is about to do battle with the butt of her gun at this point when all of a sudden the motherfucking cavalry rolls in. It's our bounty hunters. They let off some rounds and the critters go and run in all directions. Now, you'd think this would just be the end of the movie at this point. The bounty hunters can handle it from here. But no, Brad has to go back into the goddamn house to rescue the fucking cat Chewy because he can hear the Chewy cat upstairs.
Which Chewy, named after Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Reference to Star Wars.
And also, which goes back to E.T. because E.T.s are part of the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm,
Man, it's just a full circle. They are Jedi. That's how they use the Force to fly.
Yeah, they're part of the Council.
We've already accompanied this.
And okay.
So Brad goes upstairs. The sheriff then shows up and he heads inside the house, but stops at the window because there's just bursts of electric gunfire going off everywhere. Brad and the one bounty hunter, he alerts the one bounty hunter, hey, there's one in the toilet right there. He lifts it up and fucking blasts it. And they kind of have this moment like, nice work, kid. Like
a fist bump.
Yeah, yeah. So they're happy. But another one then all of a sudden jumps out of the fucking shower and then goes across and tries to run. Next, the bounty hunter goes and walks down, but this is the one that looks like Charlie, and it runs into Harv. And then Harv is just like, Charlie, what the hell are you doing here? What the heck is going down?
Damn it, Charlie.
Charlie, you know what happens when you leave the GD place. You start spreading your tart flakes everywhere.
You're not even drunk off your ass.
Yeah.
You've been drinking your courage juice, Charlie.
What's going on, Charlie? What, did you join the Dune planet?
Spice must flow.
So bounty hunter Charlie then picks up Harv by the neck and he goes, put me down, and throws him through a window just for no reason because the bounty hunters are, again,
he deserves
high
it.
Dicks.
I don't know. That sheriff was a dick.
He was. So.
A condescending turd.
And that's how he became Max 404.
So upstairs, Brad looks for the cat alone, but he finds him safe and sound just sitting on the bed and he goes, uh-oh, and then turns around, and it's the big motherfucking critter up there in the room. Steel comes from around and busts a couple shots, but misses the most giant of all the critters as it rolls out of the window, which I openly laughed when I saw him ball up and just fly out of the window like, wow, like this, I don't know why. I just went, like this. So outside, we get to hear the rest of the family and what happened and what the big critter did.
Who's April?
It just grabbed her. I couldn't do it.
It took her to the barn.
Not where the hay is.
Took her to the barn. Trying to impress her with a push.
So Brad takes off after his sister, and mom and dad are screaming, don't. The
don't
bounty hunters.
Let her die.
No, don't do it. We never liked her. She was a whore. She wanted to marry a man who wasn't pro hay.
She didn't care about hay.
He'll never be able to carry enough hay.
So the bounty hunters get back in their police car, but it isn't working. So instead, they comically pile in with everybody, the mom, the dad, and they move the sheriff into the middle seat as they go and ride off after Bradley. Now, as Bradley's going, he runs into Charlie on his bike because they're bike riders. So they're just biking around, having a whole merry time.
Doing tricks, so going off ramps.
Yeah, yeah. Then they come up
BMX
to the ship, and you get to see the big critter kind of loading April into the ship. He sneaks over to April, avoiding detection of the rest of the Krites. She looks pretty fucking bad off. She's got a gnarly wound on her neck that Billy Zane, I'm pretending, didn't leave there, but it's
just
pretty obvious. It looks like a chunk of flesh missing. I'm like, you don't know how to do hickeys even, Billy Zane. You're a horrible lover. So he wakes her up and is able to slap her awake, and starts crawling towards the door, but then he gets the bright idea. Oh, I got my giant stick of dynamite that's like eight of them all put together.
I got my big sparkler.
So he goes to go light it, but the big one spots Brad and he drops it before he can light it. They go to make a retreat for the door. The thing jumps out and at the edge of the door as they're like able to leave, right? So the door's like kind of closing or whatever. Charlie gets the bright idea. He's like, oh, I know what to do. I'll use my whiskey bottle right here. So he lights up his whiskey bottle, makes a Molotov cocktail, and fucking Joe Montana's this thing right into the closing hatch.
He
like
uses
this.
His R strength.
So now there's a fire within the Krite ship. So the Krite ship kind of takes off, and just as they're about to leave, they go look at the house. They were like, fire cannons, and they just blow up the house just to be hassle. Just completely annihilate this fucking house.
He's like, you just got crittered.
Yeah, yeah. So they nuke it from orbit, and I have a little audio of that right here. But then,
take that,
seconds
Death Star.
After nuking it, the fire inside lights the dynamite, and then
we die.
Then it blows up the critter ship right after that. So all is well. They have no place to live. They're homeless, but thank God the hay is still fine.
Yeah,
it's worth noting.
Build a home. Home is where the hay is, sweetie.
Yeah.
At least they still have the underground cavern in their pool in their backyard.
So Bradley decides to go over and talk to the bounty hunters.
I just wanted, to say thanks.
And he shoots him.
So he reaches down to his belt and like takes off this little communicator and just gives it to
This is good at any laser tag.
Yes.
Listen, you wouldn't happen to have another one of them electronic gizmos.
And
like
then Charlie tries
there
to be a fucking, I want something too.
We don't give them to retards.
Hey, he got something. Hey, my big brother got something. I need something too. Yeah. Can you give me something?
Hey, two gifts. You got another gift?
You got another gift for me?
Giving it to you will destroy the earth.
So they then head back. Dawn is approaching. It's becoming light out again. They're looking at the remains of the house, and all of a sudden the communicator starts beeping inside of his pocket. He presses a button on it, and then all of a sudden the entire house just starts to reform itself just for no explained reason at all. There's no technology behind it at all. They're just like, oh, this thing builds houses again.
You know what that means? That means that the bounty hunters could have fixed everything they blew up.
Yeah.
Could have fixed the bowling alley, could have
fix the church.
Yes, they could have done. They could have done everything. No damage at all, right? Instead,
at which point the camera pans over to Zelda Rubinstein. She says, "This house is clean."
Yes, yeah, it is a reverse poltergeist because it looks like the exact same poltergeist effects that made it go inward and implode. They just did it in reverse.
Also reforms Christine.
Yes, very similar. So all is well with the world, but we do peer over to the corner as they're all happy about their house. Oh, yeah, the cat is within inside the mailbox, oddly enough. Mm-hmm. They're like, Chewie's even okay.
One thing about that...
But, oops. Oh. They do peer over, and they see three critters' eggs that are sitting over in the chicken coop.
Or they could be dragon eggs.
Yeah, one thing about the mailbox where they hear meow, like meowing in the mailbox. Before he opens the mailbox, he flips the flag up that shows that there's mail in there before opening it.
Yeah, this family is just, they don't know how Hayonomics works, okay?
I like the alternate ending, so.
And that brings us to an end of Critters.
What was the alternate ending?
The house is still destroyed, but you still go through the rubble and you see the eggs that are there, so.
Oh, okay. Oh. That's the alternate ending.
Yeah, there's an alternate, which was actually an Easter egg on the DVD.
Oh, very good to know.
It was
very
a critter egg.
So this is it. This was what brought us to the end of Critters.
My other favorite Easter egg is just 5 minutes of Billy Zane making fart noises. So.
But no, okay, so in Critters 2, Charlie comes back. He's now a bounty hunter. He's working with those guys as bounty hunters. Critters 3, he has been left here on his own in case any critters show up. At the end of that, when he gets stopped from destroying the last critter eggs, because the council's like, you are in violation. If you destroy these eggs, they are the last of the species. So he gets into, they send a pod for him to take it up into space. He fucking idiots his way into getting stuck into the pod, which gets shot out into space. It gets lost in space, and 50 years later... It gets picked up as salvage, and then now there's these critter eggs in space, and then all the critters are destroyed. But then on Shocker, the channel Shocker,
okay.
They actually had, or Chiller. There is a Critter series that started airing this year, and I tried to make it through one episode, and it was.
Sorry about that. Whoa. Oh, jeez. Go ahead.
It was garbage.
The show is not good.
It's not very good. Maybe it gets better. It's no Game of Thrones.
When did this come out?
This year.
Oh, I think I met the writer for that. He wrote Happy Death Day.
Oh, really?
So he was at the New Jersey Horror Con. So
interesting.
I just didn't like it because it totally negates the movies.
It destroys the critter's mystique, obviously. Yeah. So.
You know, you got to bring in the lore of the old ones
If you don't have Don Opper in it, it's just not the same, right?
Now, just some interesting facts about this film. Now, it's highly regarded as a total ripoff of Gremlins. Although this script was actually written 2 years prior to Gremlins being released. So maybe
Gremlins is the ripoff.
Yeah, maybe Gremlins just got on the fucking bandwagon first.
Maybe
That's
this movie's a ripoff of Gremlins. Ghoulies.
Yeah, and that I forgot to mention that the scene with the toilet is an homage to Ghoulies, was a very popular graphic that they showed with one of the monsters coming out of the fucking thing.
That scene always made me check a toilet before I sat down on it so that a Ghoulie wouldn't climb up my ass.
Yeah, that's a true story. But this is, this 1986, 84, 85, 86, this is like the time of like these little creature monster movies. Mm-hmm. You have Ghostbusters came out during this era, Gremlins, Critters, and Ghoulies, all within like a 3 or 4 year span.
I think there was another movie that was similar to this movie called Chompers. I swear to God. They find these eggs in a cave, and it's these little furry creatures that end up inhabiting a miniature golf course.
Chompers movie. Let's check it out.
I think it's Chompers.
I see a 2008 movie. I also see a movie called Chomps, 1979.
What's that about?
I don't know.
I think
that's maybe like a robot dog movie.
Chomps is a robot dog film.
I called it.
A young man invents a robot dog that has super strength, X-ray vision, and can detect crimes being committed.
Oh. I'm pretty sure he just says over and over, "Hi, I'm Chomps."
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the movie then, but there's another Critters-esque movie. In the second one, there's a breast expansion scene.
And Chomps only has one move, which is to bite criminals right in their crotch and demasculate them instantly. So,
in the second,
I'm Chomps. I'll bite your dick off.
The second Critters movie, they send the Power of the Night guy, Charlie, and another green face guy, bounty hunter, and he's trying to find a shape to take, and he finds a Playboy magazine. And takes the shape of the centerfold so much so, like, and rips out of his clothing. So there's this totally naked woman that has a large staple in the middle of her chest.
Wow.
Oh,
and
nice.
Just pulls the staple out. And whenever he starts to change again, Charlie's like, no, keep this one.
What a great franchise, you know. We'll
Think
have to...
of DG and Barbeau.
Well, a lot of people say that their favorite Critters movie is Critters 2.
I do like Critters 2 because the bounty hunters are a lot cooler in that movie.
Yeah.
They shoot up stuff. They're a little bit more badass, I feel like. They're not just dicks in
there's
Critters 2.
I think there's a fifth movie called Critters, Critters 5 Bounty Hunters, but I couldn't get it to play.
My favorite was The Quickening.
Yeah, Critters 5, The Quickening.
I like Critters 7, Electric Boogaloo.
Yes.
It's where the critters have to break dance to save a youth center.
Don't sleep on Critters 5, Cruise Control. That's always a favorite of mine.
I will show you how to Lambada.
Critters 8, Ice Patrol, where they have to beat... this guy owns a mountain, and his dad's going to turn that mountain into condos, and they have to race him down the hill.
And Critters 4, of course, which is the famous one that had the R. Kelly soundtrack, Gotham City, and it had it was, of course, called Critter and Robin. That's the other one.
Then there was the spinoff movie for Charlie called Charlie, Secret of the Booze.
I did like Critters Citizen Patrol because, you know,
Citizens on Patrol.
You gotta fight all these critters. They're everywhere.
People say that they use Charlie as the basis for the main character in Lawnmower Man.
We do have pills that might make you smarter.
I'm a bounty hunter. Another great Todd.
So this episode is coming out on May 6th. So if anybody's listening in, Tommy, what do you got going on May 6th, brother?
I have no idea.
The month of May.
Well, we got Murder... Okay, so May 25th, we will be at Magoobie's Joke House doing our Hit Me 90s one more time. Two shows that day.
And you'll
day.
Be at there on the 24th
And I'll
with
be there
Justin
the 24th
Schlegs.
With Justin Schlegel and Sean Gabbert. Yo, Gabber, Gabbert. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try the weekend before Tim Meadows is at Magoobie's, and we're going to try to get him to do an episode of Quality of
Laugh Finder. Our sister show, Laugh Finder.
Can I just sit in on that?
No.
Just off to the side somewhere. I won't say a word.
No.
Just get me near Tim Meadows.
Tim Meadows is like, why the white man?
He's got the crazy eyes. I can see he's got the crazy eyes.
I can tell.
Yeah, that's nasty.
See, why does he have a fake afro on? He's obviously bald.
See, it's obvious that you have psoriasis, and that's cool, but you tried to put it on my spaghetti like Parmesan cheese, and that's not cool.
I'm not saying your skin's real flaky, but your skin real flaky.
Look, I promise I won't call him Chris Rock. I promise.
I
promise.
Yeah, you can check all that shit out at laughfinderpod.com.
Which also, check out our YouTube channel where you can see what's been... If I had hair, I'd have ripped it all out by now.
Yeah, you've been doing some great work on the Laughfinder thing. It's more work than I would ever do for the show, but
I'm getting
it looks
close
really
to
great.
The end of my rope.
Yes.
I'm like, that's it. No more episodes.
I really like the puppet. Tommy animates full puppets for when video gets messed up, and it actually is a very cool show when it's all animated like that.
It's so much work.
So if you become a patron and we get it up to a couple grand, you could have the whole episode like that every week.
Yeah, if you get it up there, I will go to local artists and I will get them to, like, we're using free puppets now, but I will get puppets made of each of us.
Yeah, it'll be dope that way. Yeah.
Tommy wants to get back to something simpler, like full steampunk armor suits and things that projectile from his
arms.
I
have other projects I would rather be doing than animating episodes because the video fucked up.
Things that are easier than video production. So.
I feel that. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. I got a whole bunch of shit coming up there. By the way, if you're listening to us on whatever player you're listening to us on, leave us a 5-star review. We really appreciate it. Helps out our metrics and shit like that.
And you'll read it on the show.
I'll read it on the show. Absolutely. Yeah. What else? There's shit going on all the time, so you can find it all out there. Check out, email the people at Monster Mania so we can be on Monster Mania in October. Go on their website and say, you want quality time to do a comedy show there. Jeremy, take us out.
I'm going to get these critters.